So I just want to acknowledge as we're gathered here this morning that we all come not in perfection, not in rejoicing that, hey, we're here, we made it, we're doing great, but with the burdens that we bear, the getting up early, the sickness, the physical sickness that many of us are experiencing. One of the reasons why a lot of us aren't here this morning, I'm sure, my wife included, just the burden of sin, the constant wearing away that the world and our flesh and the devil has on us. And I just want to say, this is the best place we can be in light of all of that. And I'm glad that you're here. Our scripture reading is from Ephesians 4. And Paul, who wrote this letter, wrote it from prison. And he was claiming a victory in Christ in light of the fact that he had been beaten and rejected. And others had turned their back on him, even Christians, and that there was a word that he has for the church in that circumstance, and there's a word he has for us today. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Please be seated. So as I mentioned in the welcome, we're going to have six of us all together share about some of the ministries that are happening here at Grace Downtown. The ministries that the Spirit, as we saw in our reading, is working out among us to make us mature and to help us to be the body of Christ to the community that we're in, first to one another, then the community that we're in, and then to the world around us. I'm going to share about the pastoral search update. Then Nell Schaefer and Danny Schaefer are going to share about the ministries that they're involved in. Then we're going to gather in smaller groups and pray for those things. And then Wade. Is Wade going to share? Wade and Haley and Jeff are going to share, and then we'll pray for those things. Then we'll have a time of communion. So about the pastoral search update, there is a lot going on in our effort to find a lead pastor. Most of it is through prayer and brainstorming among the elders. The most active people involved are Jeff Thompson, Brooks, Josh Haviman, and myself. And I just want to say we are honored to serve a congregation that is vibrant and faith-filled, and that God has used and will continue to use to call unbelievers to faith and believers to maturity in Christ. Our attitude is the same as the Apostle Paul's toward the Thessalonians when he wrote, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." So thank you for being a congregation that is an honor to serve. Our confidence is in the fact that God is all-knowing and all-powerful. God knows those who are his, and he cares for them. God knew Moses was not a good speaker, but he chose him to lead his people out of Egypt. God knew David was the least among his brothers, and he chose him to be king. God knew Peter was impulsive and would say things that he would soon regret, yet he chose him as one of his under-shepherds. And God knew Grace Downtown would spend a brief time without a lead pastor, and that it would be a time of sharpening and refining for us as a congregation. There are two general considerations when considering a shepherd: their qualifications according to the biblical standard, and their fit to the local congregation. 1 Timothy 3, 1 and 2 says, "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, and so on." So we've been asking ourselves, do we know anyone who aspires to this position? In an ideal situation, and in every situation I've been involved in since serving as a pastor, there's been a group of individuals within the congregation who have aspired and are preparing to lead. This is not the case with us, so we're searching outside the congregation. Many of us who have been serving in the corridor are well connected and to other churches and their leaders, and that is one of the resources. Another resource that we are looking to is the Harbor Network. The Harbor Network does not train or place pastors. They partner with churches who want to plant more churches. They are a church planting network. As such, they are connected to many individuals who aspire to lead and plant churches. We're not looking to Harbor Network to recommend or provide us with a candidate per se, but they are well connected and with many churches and individuals who desire to expand the kingdom through church plants. And that is what we consider ourselves to be. We're a church plant. They are another potential source. So in summary, we have been and will continue to search for candidates who either are already personally familiar with or know someone who is. The other consideration for a shepherd is their compatibility with the local congregation. We're going to hear from several people this morning who will be sharing about the ministries they're involved in and how we can be involved in and praying for these ministries. The pastoral candidate we are looking for will be someone who's excited about and can help lead us in growing these ministries. When Jesus was preparing his disciples for the reality that he was not going to be with them much longer, he told them, "It is better for you that I go, because I will send the helper." We have that helper. When Paul was in prison, and he and the church were facing the very real prospect that his earthly ministry was almost over, he wrote to the Philippian church to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. We are pressing on, and by the grace of God, we'll continue to press on through this season and beyond. So the things I would like us to pray for in light of this is for the search committee, as we look for the individual that God has in store to lead us. And my expectation is that we would find more than one that we could consider. That's our desire. So you could pray for that also. You can pray for that person to be someone who shares our vision, someone who can be excited about who we are and where we're going and help lead us in that direction. And you can also pray for our prayer ministry. As you're praying, remember that prayer is the lifeblood of a church. Prayer is the Spirit moving with us, among us, helping us in our weakness, because we know not what we to pray oftentimes. So ask God to continue to lead our prayer ministry. Danny, Nell?
Do you want this here?
Good morning, everyone.
My name is Nell Schaefer. I have been serving in the role of Children's Ministry Coordinator since September. I'm just going to give a brief update, and then I'm going to call the kids up to just show you what we do instead of tell you. But first of all, I'm just so blessed by your kids. They love the Word of God, and they want to learn it. And it's been a real joy to teach them and to equip the volunteers. Also, thank you to all the volunteers who've served, and especially to Debbie Hamus, who's not here today, but she coordinates the nursery, and she does a lovely job. We do need 2 nursery volunteers for the first week of the month. So if you are able and willing to serve for this semester in the nursery on the first week of the month, we need 2 volunteers. It's pretty urgent. So just a little update. What have we done? What have we changed? In the nursery, we've just added that the kids are also doing a story and a song and a little craft. Even though they're 3 and under in there, they can absorb and learn truths about God at a very young age. So that's been fun. The biggest changes have come in the elementary classroom because it's not really just elementary anymore. We're doing ages 4 through 18 all in one class. We're doing like a one-room schoolhouse, all ages learning together like a family. And that was a risk, and it's actually going quite well thanks to all the volunteers who've really dug in and done it. I want to thank our older kids because they are helping the younger kids learn the Word of God, and they're becoming disciple makers right there in our classroom, which you'll probably even see as we do a little demo for you. So one of the reasons we're going for this is because we only have one room for the kids to be in. So there's not really an option to divide the kids out. But we see Jesus teaching all ages and all walks of life and very mixed groups all at once. Like, as he's teaching, he's not just teaching to people who are all similar. He's teaching to a very diverse group of people, you know, Pharisees and tax collectors and religious people and sinners. And his message is good news to all people at the same time. So we're trying to use what Jesus used because it's good to a diverse group of people. So the technique we use is called 3/3. Can everyone say 3/3? 3/3. So first we look back. Can you say look back? And then we look up. And then we look ahead. All right, so you're going to watch us do that. Kiddos, can you come up and sit very quietly with little mouse feet all on the floor here? Anybody who's 18 and younger will have up here. And older kids, you can help the younger kids. Go ahead and sit down right there. Go ahead, sit. You can face me so you can see me. And this semester, we did most of the book of Matthew. Next semester, we're going to focus just on the last week of Jesus' life in Matthew. There's a lot of little vignettes leading up to Easter, and so we'll do all of those this semester. Good morning, kids. How's everybody doing? Good. Okay. The first question we ask for look back is, what story did we read last week? Jackson's going to come up and do one of the stories we did this semester. Come on up.
The kingdom of heaven is like a, merchant looking for fine pearls. When he finds one of great value,
what did he do when he found it?
He went and sold everything he had and bought it.
Good job. Thank you. Thanks, Jackson. Great. So the next part of look back is we ask each other, which 2 questions do we ask each other, kids? What do we ask?
We ask,
for prayer questions. What are our prayer questions? What's our prayer questions? Lucas? There we go. Thumbs up and thumbs down. So what was something that was great in your week? What are you praising God for? And what's something that's been a bummer? What do you need prayer for? And we have the kids break up and pray for each other. For time's sake, we're not going to do that part, but it's been sweet to watch your kids learn how to pray and to grow in prayer. And we encourage you to ask your kids these questions regularly, even if you're with them all day long. Their answers will surprise you, and it will help them learn how to articulate what's going on in their life and learn how to pray for somebody. So when we pray, we say, thank you, God, for whatever the person shared. And we say, God, please help this person with whatever. So it's just little sentence stems to help grow your kids in prayer. All right, then we do a story. So our story today is one we already did last semester. It's a review. It's from Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither does anybody light a lamp and then hide it under a bowl. Instead, we put it up on a lampstand so that it can give light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine for others, that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, did anybody learn that from hearing it one time? No way. We have to do it again, right? Nobody learns from one time. So I'm going to have you guys fill in the blanks this time. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city on a cannot be hidden. Neither does anybody light a lamp and, yeah, we don't do that. We put it on a stand. And it what? It gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your before others so that they see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's great. Okay, at this point we would have a child say it all and we would do it maybe even one more time. But for the sake of time, you see, we teach by repetition. Okay, then we ask some more questions for look up. We ask, what do we ask? What does this? Oh, go ahead. Right, that's for when we do our prayer requests. You're right. That's a great prayer request. Lucas, what do we ask about the passage?
Yes. What was the story about?
Yeah, so first question, what does it teach us about God? What does this story say about God? He lights up the whole world. Yeah, what else, Jackson? He is good at teaching. And what does Jesus say that you are? Yeah, he tells you who you are. All right, what does it teach us about ourselves? We're the light of the world. That's pretty cool, right? Jesus is the light of the world, and he says that you guys also are. Cool. All right, and then the look ahead question, because we don't just want to hear God's words and live our normal life. We want to put it into practice. Jesus preached on this a lot. Put it into practice. So how can we put this story into practice? Does Jesus give us a command to obey or an example to follow in this story? That's one goal. That's a big goal. What's an example in the story? He said what? What should we do? Harvey, what does it tell us to do in the story? You don't know? Lucas, what does it tell us to do? Let your what? So that they see your what? See your good works. Is there anybody this week that you can be kind to or share about Jesus with? I want you to think about that. We're not going to share it out loud. Just think about it, okay? And that's how we do look ahead. And then usually we bless the kids to be able to obey that and to share it with somebody. We encourage you guys to practice these stories with your kids at home. That's why I send home a printout every week so you know what we did in Sunday school. Repetition is the teacher for oral learning and to pray with your kids. We want every parent to be equipped to have a devotional with their kids just like this. In fact, we use this same three-thirds, look back, look up, look ahead, with people who don't know Jesus, who've never read the Bible before, with brand new baby believers, with mature believers. It kind of is like this one-size-fits-all tool. So it's very helpful for anybody. And we want to equip parents to do this, so we're going to have some training opportunities, and I'll send an email called Family Nights, where we just teach families how to have devotionals together, because it's not as intuitive as you might think it would be, and it just takes a little support to learn from each other. So can everybody return to their seats and sing God is So Good? Let's lead the adults in worship as we return to our seat. We'll sing God is So Good. Ready? God is so good. God.
Hey guys, good morning. My name is Danny Schaefer, and I'm going to share about two things. One is the ministry that Nell and I work with, and the second is just the Westside community group that we're a part of. So the ministry that we work with is called E3 Partners, and so it's an international organization. They work in over 90 countries, and the vision is to see a multiplication of disciples and churches across the globe until every place and every person has been reached. So what does that mean to, you know, make disciples that make disciples or start churches, and like what is that going to take? Well, we found that a lot of people in church have a desire to share their faith, right? We all want to grow and serve the Lord, but we just never really seen some simple steps of how to do that or have a community that can we team with and support us to do that. So Nell and I, in part of our work, we work with other churches in Iowa and Illinois to do some trainings to help them get started with making disciples. So to keep it short, one of the things that we do is called Gospel Conversations Trainings. You might have seen some announcements of those trainings that we did here at Grace Downtown last year. We did two of them last year, and my hope is we'll do more this year as well. But those trainings are really just a simple way of learning, like, what did Jesus do to make disciples? What are the biblical principles that we can follow? And then what are just some simple practical tools that we can use to have natural conversations with people in our everyday lives about Jesus? And so we learn all those things and we practice them. And after that first training, there's a lot of other trainings that we would also do, for other churches. Another thing that we do is called Imitate Christ. So that is a 9-month internship, like a discipleship program that we do locally here in Iowa City. And so we're going to, every September we start a new cohort of that. And right now the group that we've got going on, we kind of learn all those disciple making skills and principles, and we put them into practice each week as a community. So we think of ourselves as a team of believers trying to reach our neighborhoods and our workplaces. And so there's been a lot of cool stories these past few months of just people having spiritual conversations with their coworkers or their classmates, praying for people that are far from God, who just have a need, inviting people into their homes to have meals with them. And so just really reaching out to the community of lost people around them. Other things that we would do in IC would be like learning how to be emotionally healthy people. So we do that so that we can become growing our self-awareness and learning how to treat others the way Jesus would want us to treat them, and learn how to even overcome some maybe family patterns that are, you know, kind of plaguing us in a sense of how to grow closer to God and start new family patterns. Another aspect of IC is going to be, sorry, losing my train of thought, is learning more how to hear from God through listening prayer. And so we want to just live out the true identities that God has called us, each one of us. And so listening prayer is a big part of IC as well. So just to finish, I want to talk about the community group. So we co-lead one with Daniel and Olivia Griway, and it's a locations-based group. We wanted this to be just kind of for the West Side, for the purpose of when you live closer to people, you're going to see them more often and have being able to team together to reach our neighborhoods. So it makes it a lot easier to see each other when we just live like 5 minutes away from each other and are able to even walk to each other's houses. We try to do a lot of weekly rhythms, and each kind of rhythm serves a specific purpose. So, for example, when it was nicer out, we did Monday night and Friday night bonfires, which provided the opportunity to have more fellowship with one another, but also create a space to invite people that are far from God in our neighborhood. And now that it's going to be, now that it's wintertime, those nights will be turning more into game nights. On Wednesday night is when we meet as a group. We have tried a few different things. One of the things that we have used is the three-thirds process that you heard Nell talk about. So it's not just for the kids' ministry. It's actually a really great tool for adults as well. But no matter what we're using, what we're trying to focus on is putting into practice the things that we are reading each week, and kind of setting goals to obey what Jesus wants us to do. Other rhythms, weekly rhythms that we have is Friday morning, we have prayer from 6 to 7 a.m., and that's prayer for the community. Another option for prayer is to come on Sunday morning during the pre-service, kind of before the service starts, so that'll be about 9 a.m., and a cool story about this prayer time is, you know, we were meeting Friday morning, and one family couldn't really come because if a spouse is working and the other spouse is at home with kids, like they just, you know, they can't leave their house. But there was another couple that lived on their street, and so instead of coming to just, you know, our house to pray, they started their own prayer group on that Friday morning so that these two couples could pray. These two families could pray together. And then, so it's meeting a need in the community, but it's also serving their neighborhood because now they're praying for their neighborhood on location. And when they threw a kind of a fall Halloween party last year, they met more believers on their street. And these believers now are also sometimes being a part of this Friday morning prayer time. So just a really cool way that God has kind of expanded just the ministry of prayer for our neighborhood. Some of the families practice a Sabbath day of rest, so there's other opportunities for Friday night or Saturday night to share a meal together. And again, another space to bring in people in our neighborhood. And just to celebrate with you guys and encourage you just what God is doing, there's been a Muslim friend coming from a Middle Eastern country who I actually met through Wade Summers' one of his events that he does for international students. And so Wade is going to come and share about what he's doing, and I encourage you guys to, when you're available, to volunteer and serve the things that he is doing. But as I met this guy, he was interested in spiritual things, and he's been coming to the community group since September, reading the Bible with us, praying with us, and sharing about his life. So what... asking you guys to pray for him as well. Our group has about 16 adults and 10 kids, and so we're still trying to figure out a lot of things, and we're learning a lot about what we should be doing and how we can grow. And so just some prayer points for the group would just be how we can, that we would grow closer together and grow as a community, being able to meet each other's needs and just in different life stages of parenting and work and all the things that life events happen. Other prayer points would just be that in our neighborhoods, you can see Westside Ministry, so training more believers in churches to be disciple makers, and just praying for our neighborhood, for those that we're meeting with that are far from God, that they experience God's love for them and become just abiding, obedient disciples.
Okay, we're going to do ministries kind of outside of Iowa City that are focused. Wade. Well, he was sent just earlier, and for the sake of time, we'll just go. Wade?
Yeah, my name is Wade Summers. I lead International Neighbors, and also I'm on the board of Friends of International Students. There's two ways that I'm trying to help the church bless and welcome international students. And we have new international students that are coming, and next Monday I'll be making a presentation. So I'd love your prayers for those incoming international students, that they'd feel welcomed, that they feel known, pray that you would that God would provide some new volunteers to be matched with them, to welcome them one-on-one. pray for the students come, and they tend to be jet lagged and all sorts of just have a lot going on. And so during that orientation, it can be hard for them to be able to take in all the information that's coming. So just praying that those who would benefit from being blessed by being welcomed by an American, that those would they would be able to hear, that they would engage with us, have good conversations, and sign up, and then have good experiences with the Americans, volunteers that we connect them with. And then for Cedar Rapids, we do ministry at Kirkwood's campus, but we've also had some opportunities to bring the ministry back to Coast Campus, partnering with the Navigator American Ministry on Coast Campus, and some international leaders that they have, some international students that are leaders in their Navigator group. And so just partnering with those students to help them vision of what it looks like to reach their non-Christian international friends. And so the prayer point would be to pray for that that you know, fostering partnership with the Navigators, and that we would truly be a blessing to the Navigators as they want to reach out to international students on Coast Campus, and that we could bring a little bit of what we're doing at Kirkwood's campus to Co. And then lastly, just praying for all of the new relationships. Like Danny said, there's you know, students that are coming with hunger and openness, and there's students that are coming with pretty closed hearts, but we're wanting to love them well. And so those things began in September. So just praying for those friendships that have begun to form to continue. We just had both a Thanksgiving and Christmas events where the gospel was shared in each of those spaces. And so there's opportunities to have gospel conversations. Just praying that those conversations would continue forward through repetition, through really listening to what the students are feeling, experiencing, questioning. Those that are like Danny, that are you know, sharing the gospel with their students, that they would have the Spirit of God working through them. So thank you for your prayers.
Hi, everyone. My name is Haley Abdo, and I am on a part of the Mission Ambassador team here at Grace Downtown, along with Rebecca Yeager, Kathy Mark, and Jeff Thompson. And we act as a liaison between Grace Downtown and our missionary partners who are serving in different countries across the world. Grace currently partners with three different Sent Ones, who are members at Grace Downtown and who are vocationally working with ministries across the world. And so I'm going to just provide a quick update on each of our missionary partners and share different prayer requests for each of them that we can be lifting up. So the first one is Aaron Labe, which he is actually living here in Iowa City with his wife Laura and their six-month daughter Hannah, but he is on staff with Crew and is working with an app called God Tools, which is used to an evangelical tool to provide conversation starters and tools to equip and train believers to share the gospel with other people. And so I will give a very brief update from him, but since we are lucky to have Aaron here, I would encourage you to talk with him more to learn more about the work that he does and learn more about God Tools and how to use the app. So with Crew, they recently had a year-end review, and God is doing amazing work in their app. In 2024, over 600,000 people used the app, with app usage growing 1,000% in Haiti and Cuba since 2023, which, if you guys are familiar with kind of the violence and unrest that are occurring in Cuba and Haiti, it's really sweet that people are sharing the gospel and God is working in those countries despite some of the violence there. And then 50% of all app usage occurred in Africa in 2024. So God is working. People are sharing the gospel in countries all over the world, which is a huge praise. Aaron's also asking prayer for wisdom for the God Tools teams as they look to the future and decide what might best serve their users across the world. And then also just healing for Aaron as he experiences a couple of different chronic health issues that are impacting just daily fatigue and discomfort in his body. Another missionary partner is Marissa Yorgi, which she has is currently serving as an athletic trainer at Faith Academy in the Philippines, which is a missionary or a school for missionary children. Families who are serving as missionaries in the Philippines. She was a member of Grace Downtown from the very beginning of when Grace Downtown was planted, and was an active member here until 2021 when she was called by God to head over to the Philippines, and she has been serving there since through an organization called Ethnos 360. Marissa had a busy semester coaching multiple different athletic groups and teams, teaching classes to students of multiple different age ranges, leading discipleship groups, and is currently experiencing rest on Christmas break. Prayer for her is to recruit another athletic trainer or another healthcare professional at Faith Academy to come along her in the work that she is doing. And then protection from attacks of the enemy, as those who are serving in mission fields are in a spiritual battleground where the enemy is targeting those areas of people in groups where God is flourishing. Those are prime targets for him to attack. And so protection from her and other servers there from thoughts of loneliness, doubt, and anxiety. And then lastly is Daniel and Shannon Jin. Daniel was a member here for decades at Grace and has been in Papua, Indonesia since like 6 or 7 years ago at this point now. He is on staff with Wycliffe Bible Translation on a Bible translation team there. He is currently working on a program to translate the New Testament for the Jagwai people there, which is an aging language and an aging population there. And he is asking for prayer for what to do once that program and project currently ends in February. And so wisdom for how to continue to best serve the Jagwai people and learn their language. And then he is also going to be renewing his passport in February, which comes with some safety and danger risk, as he has to physically mail his passport in the mail to the government there and get his visa renewed and all of that, which can provide some safety and danger threats. And then Daniel's wife, Shannon, is a teacher at a missionary school there, and she is also seeking prayer for multiple different positions that are needing to be filled, including a long-term director position and then multiple teacher positions for next year. So trusting God to provide different staff members at that school to be able to have a better functioning school that is fully staffed. And so while these are all very brief updates, I would encourage you guys to continue to be in prayer for our sent ones, especially the ones who are living internationally are just really craving connection to their home church and their home body, and it's really easy to feel lonely or isolated and feel forgotten by your home church while they are out in different parts of the world. And so if anyone is interested in receiving their monthly or quarterly newsletters, I would encourage you to reach out to either myself or Bo, and Bo can connect you to me, and we can get you added to their newsletter so that you can continue to be in prayer for them and just in communication with them.
Thanks. So I'm going to share about Haiti, something dear to my heart. I'll just give a short history. Massive earthquake in 2010. Thousands and thousands of people died, mass graves, destroyed infrastructure. 2011, a couple of the elders went down to Haiti, started looking at what they could do. They teamed up with this organization called Worldwide Village, and they decided to do medical missions. So for a week-long trip, they set up a medical mission to treat minor things and send them on to a hospital if it's a major thing. So even colds, babies, we saw tons of babies, and then tons of colds, rashes. That's what the thing we try to treat. I went, it started in 2012. I went in the spring of 2013, and I went 13 times. We also concentrated on discipleship of the pastors. Dave Kirk set up these teams of about 12 people, 12 pastors who trained 12 people, sort of like a 2 Timothy 2:2 thing. And we also helped with the schools. We also sponsor kids. So Worldwide Village has a website. You can sponsor one of the students. They'll send you letters and pictures of the student, and you send them money to help have uniforms and food. And we also, one of the biggest things we did, was the funnest, was We brought the gifts of the sponsor parents down to Haiti and gave them out to the kids. So a lot of hugs and a lot of fun. So we stopped going 2019 because of COVID and also political unrest. In 2021, the president of Haiti was, after a legit election, a couple years later, he was just killed, assassinated. The prime minister's pretty ineffective, and the gangs have pretty much taken over all of Haiti. In the villages of Williamson and Lully, where we ministered to, gangs come down. The last time, or a couple months ago, they came down and burned down Williamson. People died. It was really bad. The latest I've heard, I checked with Worldwide Village last night, there's a treaty between Williamson and the, I'll call it the Hill Gang. They're kind of small mountains or big hills, depends how you look at it. They used to come down and take over property and then rent the property back to the original resident. So it's a really bad situation, but I guess there's a treaty so they can have peace. So my prayer request, one more thing. We have Zoom meetings, or we try to, it's pretty sporadic. Once a month with the pastors, Dave Kirk and I will meet with the pastors, see how they're doing, see how we can pray for them. It's usually about 6 to 7 people, and they had to move out of Lully and Williamson because of the gangs, but they're all safe, and that's a praise. So praise God for the protection. So here are my 4 prayer requests. A stable government, safety for the Worldwide Village staff. They're native to Haiti. They're people we hired. They're still in the guest house and doing various ministries. Wisdom, how Grace will be involved in the future, and pray that that peace treaty I talked about stands firm.